You can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Romans chapter 10. We're going to start a very familiar verse, verse 9. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on our standing in our state. Our standing in our state. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or disappointed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what?
Saved. Saved.
So this is how we get born again, right? This is the how of us getting the new birth, getting Holy Spirit, right? We confess Romans 10, 9 and 10, and we're saved. And we're saved unto righteousness. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. And that's what we call the new birth. That's why we say we're born again. Because when we get born again, we get new life. We get spirit life. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18... it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things," so we weren't redeemed with things that just will fade away, such as silver and gold, "from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But instead we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Right? So our first birth, it involves a, you know, seed from our earthly father, right? That's how we got here. But it's corruptible. And all it results in is a body and a soul. And that body will not last forever. If Christ tarries, we'll all eventually fall asleep. But our new birth is an incorruptible seed from our heavenly Father. Right? It's incorruptible. You can't, it does not decay, it does not go bad. You can't lose it. It's incorruptible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. So when we believe Romans 10, 9, and 10, we get born again. And we're born again of an incorruptible seed. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "Even when we were dead in sins, hath," so this is talking, we'll start in verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Right? It's all by grace. It's all by grace. Verse 7, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved, through faith, through believing." Believing, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, nothing that we did, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And that word in the Greek is masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Right? So this salvation, the new birth, it's all by grace. We didn't have to work for it. There's nothing that we did to earn it, right? We certainly didn't deserve it, but we can't lose it, right? It's incorruptible. We can't screw up and have it taken away from us, right? And God calls us his masterpieces, right? That's the way that he sees us. Go to Philippians chapter 5. Philippians chapter 5. We'll start in verse 1. Oh, there is no Philippians 5. Where am I? Uh-oh. I wrote down the wrong book. We need to put on the mind of the Colossians 5.
No.
Put on the mind of Christ. Dang it. I mean, where was I going?
What were you looking for?
Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ.
I should say. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
Only it's two.
Oh,
it's
two.
Oh, two. I had it. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. You guys are the best. See? Mm-hmm. Now the cool thing is I'm still righteous. I didn't lose my Holy Spirit there. Mm-hmm. Great. So we're going to start Philippians 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Let not every man look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? And so that's kind of what we need to do day in and day out, is to put on the mind of Christ. It's not automatic. Right? So our state is that fellowship with God, is that thing that we're doing every day, right? Are we putting on the mind of Christ, or are we, you know, walking by the senses? Are we doing our own thing? That's our state. But our standing is always sons of God. Our standing is always going to be born-again believers, people who are righteous, who have Holy Spirit. We can't lose that, right? So it's just like our earthly families, right? We all came from an earthly father and mother. Can't change that. I can't be like, well, Connie and Rube aren't my parents anymore. They were how I got here. They're always going to be my mother and father. My standing will always be as their son or daughter, right? But our state fluctuates, and it can vary widely, right? I could be in great fellowship with my mom and dad, or I could go out and break all the rules and get grounded, right? That state can vary depending on the decisions I'm making. Sometimes everything is peachy, and sometimes it's not, right? And it's always the same way with God, right? We're always going to be his kids. We can't screw that up. We can't lose that. He always sees us as his masterpieces, even when we are screwing up. But we want to get back in fellowship with God, right? We want to put on that mind of Christ. We want to do the things that he would have us to do. Go to Romans chapter 12. And the way we do that is in Romans chapter 12. Another very familiar verse of scripture, Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? So we repair our state with God by renewing our minds to the Word. Right? If we've gotten off track and we're out of fellowship, we fix that by renewing our minds to God's Word. Right? Sometimes we're not very Christ-like minded, but all we have to do is renew our minds to the Word, right? And we're back in fellowship with God. Go to 1 John chapter 1. The adversary wants nothing more than for us to be conformed to this world, right? To make decisions that are not according to God's Word. Because we might be sons and daughters of God, we might be righteous, but we still have free will. We can choose to be knuckleheads, right? And that's what the adversary would want, is for us to do stuff other than God's Word. But we have the ability to renew our minds and get back in fellowship. And fellowship is the key. 1 John 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with who? With the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Our fellowship with God is our state. That's our state. Are we walking with God? Are we in fellowship with him, or aren't we? In verse 8 it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Right? We're full of it if we think we don't screw up every once in a while. Verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Verse 1, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Right? So our sins have already been paid for, right? So the context of this verse is not like, you know, Roman Catholicism style, where you have to confess your sins all the time to be, you know, make sure you get to heaven. Right? You don't want to screw up and have that last sin right before you die, or else it's over. Right? That's not how it works with God. We are righteous. We're born again already. But this is in reference to verse 3, our fellowship with God. If we screw up, then he's faithful to forgive us. He's faithful to be like, "That's okay, man. I get it." All right? And then we're back in good state with God. In a good state with God. Right? Our state is always dependent on how we respond to sin or broken fellowship. Right? If we respond to it with an, "I'm sorry, I screwed up, forgive me," God says he'll forgive us every time. And we get back in fellowship with him. Go to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, verse 9. Because we're not perfect, and sometimes we do things that aren't on the Word. Sometimes we do things that are not according to God's Word. Have we ever lied to a friend, for example? Not told the truth? The Word of God tells us not to lie. But if we go, "Oh, I shouldn't have done that. I should have told the truth." We get back in fellowship with God. Have you ever experienced road rage? Yeah, man. Right? Or rudeness in public, like, I don't know, somebody bumps into you in their shopping cart and you flip them off and you yell at them, right? That's not how God would have us to act. But we can say, "I'm sorry, God." Or you take the extra 10 from the cash register because they don't really know it's there. They won't miss it. But God's Word tells us not to steal, right? We'll screw up sometimes, but when we say we're sorry, God is quick to forgive us. And Romans chapter 12, verse 9 There's many of these in the Bible, but this is just one example of kind of like a checklist of things that we can do to stay in fellowship. Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, and that's in the things of God, and serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation when things are rough, continuing instant in prayer, right? And that's giving persistent attention to praying. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. So we're to share with each other, and we're to be given in hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. That one's tough. The road rage thing. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Which means accommodate yourselves to humble ways. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense no man evil for evil. Don't repay evil with more evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in doing so shalt thou heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Right? And so these are just wonderful ways that we can make sure that we're walking according to the word and how God would have us to live. Right? We can be loving, we can be kind, we can be giving, we can be patient. It goes on and on here. Go to 1 John chapter 1. We're going to go back to verse 3. And doing those things keeps us in alignment and harmony with the Father. Ensures that we're in a good state with God. We'll never lose our standing. We'll always be sons and daughters with God. We're always can't do anything to screw up our eternal life or going to heaven. But we want to make sure that while we're here, we're in a good spot with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you so that you can be miserable and condemning yourself all the time and feeling bad about how bad you screwed up and you're not living up to these standards. No. We write these things unto you that your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. Right? Fellowship with God is the key to unlocking a more abundant life. It's how we will have fullness of joy. Right? It's how we will have fullness of joy. So when we do the things of God's word, and we're in a good state with God, and we're in fellowship with him, our joy is going to be full. We're going to be really blessed and really happy. It won't be a burden. It won't be this thing that's like hanging over us all the time. Right? Our joy will be full. Go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And this is after Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. Right? After they finished speaking in tongues for the first time, they received the Holy Spirit. And he's teaching the crowd. And he says, well, they ask him, what do we do to be saved? And Peter said unto them, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. It's a once and done thing. If we repent, if we confess Romans 10, 9, and 10, that's it. It's been paid for. And you shall receive the gift of Holy Spirit, right? We can only repent unto salvation one time. Then it's done. We can't lose it. It's not going away. Our standing will forever be righteous sons of God. It's our state that requires a continual renewal of our mind to be in fellowship with God and make sure that we're doing His work, right? It's not something that we're going to lose. It's not something that goes away. And we're going to close in Philippians chapter 4. And there's a lot of people out there that believe that you have to keep repenting. You have to keep doing this stuff, or else your days are numbered. And they live in constant fear that, man, this could be the last day I've got, and if I didn't do this thing right before I died, then, you know, what a miserable way to live life. How great of God to give us this guarantee. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do those things. And the God of peace shall what?
Be with you.
Right? When we're in fellowship with God, it's just peaceful living. The God of peace is right there with us. It's blessed. It's abundant. And we're really, really, you know, just blessed with life. So we read the word to learn the word so that we can do the word, right? And that's our state with God. That's when we have fellowship with God and we have great abundance.